4CBA Mobile.
4CVA KQ4QHV.
Let me give you my call, make sure you got it right. Kilo Bravo 4, Charlie Bravo Alpha. And name is David. And give me your call and your name again, please, sir.
This is Nick. Kilo Quebec 4, Quebec Hotel Victor. KQ4QHV. And I missed the last half of yours. I got Kilo Bravo 4.
Charlie Bravo Alpha. No, I'm doing okay. I'm kind of wore out. I played my second match of tennis today, and I think I'm about ready for the couch and some TV.
I used to play tennis in high school. I'm very fond of that game. Are you playing in, I know there's a tennis club in Seneca.
Yeah, I play at the sports club on Congaree Road. I believe it's 712 Congaree, if I'm not mistaken. And I've been a member there, I think, 4 or 5 years now.
There the strings rackets?
Honestly, I wouldn't recommend their machine needs. It's not the person, it's the machine. The machine needs calibration. I've got somebody that strings mine. He lives in Greer, and he used to string John McEnroe and Jimmy Connors and a bunch of other pros. And I can give you his number.
One of them busted string in, so I cut those all out. And the other one, they're just worn out and needs to go with some new strings on there. I typically run like a hybrid setup.
Got a hybrid setup on one of mine, and I just let him, I broke a string. I've never done that before, but I let him string it with some other kind of, material, and sometimes my shots are a little unpredictable. I think I'm gonna take it back and put strings that I'm using, and then take it back to him and let him string it. He just charges he charged me $38, and he provided the string, so that's pretty cheap.
I wonder. I bet he's got some multiple types of string there. Maybe he can do a hybrid string with his own.
You could ask him that. You know, I just know that the particular setup that I had, he did not carry at least one of the set of strings that I use. So. I think I got them at Tennis Warehouse, and I just call them up, and you know, they have it on file, and they just, you know, look at that and send me another set, and they come together as a set, so it's interesting. I can hit the ball more accurately with that racket than I do the other one. Not to say that the other one doesn't hit well, and it's probably more, it might be more me than the racket, but I just do better with the hybrid.
What are you hitting?
I don't know. It's a Wilson 108. That's all I can tell you, if that tells you anything.
The square inches of your head, that's a 108-inch head. That's probably a mid-plus. Company that you can call that has your information on file, that's so convenient. There's a falconry supplier called Marshall, and they have all my info on file, so whenever I have a problem with any of my telemetry units, I just give them a call, and that's it. It's really, really convenient. I like it a lot.
And even get the repeater.
Hitting the repeater?
KP4CPA Mobile.
I think I might have talked over you there for a minute. I missed your last transmission.
I couldn't hear the repeater where I was sitting. I was still in a dead spot, and I couldn't move. I tried to move forward. I thought it might help, and I moved as far forward as I could. I probably made the person in front of me mad, but I mean, you know, I wasn't right on the bumper, but I was getting close, and I couldn't even key up the repeater.
And that having a company that has your information on file and can just send you stuff when you give them a call is great. I have a company that I use with Falconry telemetry products, and whenever I have a problem with one of the transmitters, you know, I just give them a call and they ship out the parts, and that's all it takes. It's really, really convenient. I like it.
That's basically, you know, what I do with Tennis Warehouse, because, you know, they have that on file. They can just look at my account, see what hybrid setup I bought, and, you know, I've only bought one type, so they know. I know they're sending me the right stuff, and I bought I've got two Wilson 108s, and I've had them strung, both of them with a hybrid, same tension, same everything, they're identical, so that way, you know, if I break a string or whatever on one, I can just take the other one out of my bag and start hitting with it. And the other day, I broke a string. I've never done that, but I actually broke a string.
Well, congratulations on your first string break. I bet that was fun for you. You hit that little pop, and then you're like, whoa, wait a minute, what just happened there?
A friend of mine that I played with, we played a lot of singles, and we played on hard court. Most of the courts at Sports Club are clay. But anyway, and he would break them on a serve, and he broke a lot of strings, and I never did. I just, we were hitting the ball about, you know, just one was hitting it about as hard as the other, but I think his serve, I don't know if it was the way he did it, or maybe he was using a little bit more force, I don't know, but we were about even, dead even, as far as, you know, playing, and, you know, one week I'd win, and the next week he'd win, kind of thing, you know, it just went kind of back and forth like that.
You know, I'm glad that you have a peer to play with, that's always fun. Sometimes breaking strings also is attributed to the amount of spin you're putting on the ball.
I put some spin on it. Most of the time, sometimes I hit it flat, but I'm playing, right now, I'm committed to, I'm committed to seven times a week, playing, and so that's twice on Monday, twice on Tuesday, twice on Wednesday. Then I don't play Thursday, and sometimes I play Friday if I need it, and then I play Saturday morning, and sometimes I play on Sunday, or I go to the ball machine and at the club and hit the ball machine for an hour and a half. So, you know, the least amount of time I usually play is seven matches a week, so an hour and a half, an hour and a half each match, and I'm getting plenty of exercise, that's for sure.
Any tournaments yet and have a USTA rating?
I have played in a USTA tournament. We went down to Sumter. We won our, I guess, regional thing, you know, played some people in Anderson and different places, and then we went down to Sumter to do the finals, and I tell you, it was the awfulest thing I've ever seen. I mean, it rained the whole time we were down there, and those people, they were set up so well for the rain. I mean, they could dry a court. If it quit raining, they could dry a court in 15 to 20 minutes. and these were, you know, these were clay courts, and it was just amazing. But it just rained, and they were playing catch up the whole weekend, and we lost. They shortened the matches from 6 games to 4 games, and you know, trying to catch up, and it was a mess.
Don't go quite the way you want them to go, or generate some of the better memories you have. You know, you'll remember that mess probably the rest of your life.
Yeah, I'll definitely remember, because you know I got my butt kicked, and and I wasn't playing with my regular doubles partner, and you know every time I'd make a mistake, he'd make a face, and so that wasn't helping me none either. My partner, my regular partner, he would always encourage me, you know, a little bit, which he really didn't have to do all the time, but he'd do it almost after every shot. And I don't remember what happened. I think he couldn't go to the tournament for some reason, but anyway, he's a lot younger than me. He's got young kids and, you know, a lot more responsibility than I do, working and wife and kids, and you know, here I am retired, and you know, I got grandkids, and but you know, nothing that their parents can't handle.
But I really enjoy talking to retired people and hearing about their careers. I'm kind of interested in what you retired from.
So did you say you are interested in what I retired from?
From that is what I said. I've always enjoyed hearing from retired folk what they used to do in their career.
Most of the time they call it work, but you know, what's the old saying? You know, if you enjoy your job, then you never work a day in your life. So, I really worked for most of my life. I worked 2 jobs. I was part time at one and full time at the other, and they flip flopped because, you know, I did church music was my calling. But sometimes that was part-time, and so I worked on cars full-time, and then sometimes I was at a church full-time, and I worked on cars part-time at a, you know, a dealership. And, you know, we just couldn't, and my wife worked, she made more than I did, and I worked 2 jobs. That always made me mad, but that's just the way it goes. You know, I mean, we had a lot of bills, and we put our kids in private school, and that's just what we wanted to do. So, but I was a minister of music, you know, directed, you know, choirs, praise bands, praise teams, choirs, you know, children, youth, adult, senior adult choirs, praise team, you know, praise ensembles, instrumental ensembles, just about anything to do with music, handbells, you know. So, I did that for about 40 years, and then when I turned 60, my stepmother passed away, and they lived over here in Taylor's. We lived in a house that we had just rented. We sold our house and went into this rental for a year, trying to look for a place that we wanted to live. And so when my stepmother died, my dad wanted to move into assisted living, so you know, we finally got that worked out for him, and we moved into his house, which is very nice, and a nice subdivision. And so all of a sudden I found myself out of debt. And, you know, it's really been great. So I got to retire when I was 60.
I retired when I was 60, but I don't think I'll be inheriting any house from my parents. But that's okay. I about got mine paid off.
To be honest with you, until she passed away, I did not, you know, we didn't see that coming because she wasn't really in bad health. She was just, I mean, they both were, I think, in their mid and late 80s. And I think my dad was like 89. And I didn't see any end to what I was doing as far as my work goes. I really didn't. And, yeah, I figured I'd work till the day I died. That's just the way I figured it would go, you know, because I just didn't see an end to it. But, you know, it's just funny how God works those things out. And, you know, I mean, it's all him. It wasn't me because, you know, he's been real good to us.
Not what I was about to say is sometimes you just have to take a blessing for what it is. But I did have a question for you. What is your favorite instrument to listen to, and then what is your favorite instrument to play?
AB4 CBA. Well, that's a tough one because I was a voice major in college, and but I got my master's in biblical studies. What do they call it? Anyway, with the emphasis in worship studies. So, it was a master's in religion in worship studies. So anyway, but that would be hard to answer. I guess for me, I like to sing, sit at the keyboard and play and sing. Even though I'm not a real accompanist, I can chord and kind of embellish the chords. You know, one of the guys, one of my minister of music friends says, just kind of smoke and mirrors kind of thing, you know. And, but I couldn't sit down in a choir or play a hymn or something like that. I just couldn't do it. I'd have to chord it. And, and my favorite music is, I like to listen to, you know, praise and worship, me and contemporary stuff mostly, but I listen to some of the old, you know, 60s and early 70s rock and roll that I grew up listening to, when I was a teenager.
So your favorite instrument would be voice, sounds like, and that's a wonderful thing, you know. People that enjoy singing really do bless us, and especially when they're singing praises, you know, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, you know, I had the privilege of doing that for 40 years, and the last church I was in, it was probably my best experience, especially with the choir and the praise team. The choir was just real passionate about singing, and they would sing out. You didn't have to drag the sound out of them and the excitement and all that. Most of the time they would produce it, and you know it makes a big difference because if you have to go to rehearsal, it, like most of my choirs, I had to drag stuff out of them, and you have to exaggerate what you want from them because you're not going to get what you want when you tell them. They're going to give you a little less, so you have to exaggerate it so you get what you want, but they don't know that. I'm telling you just a little trade secret here. And so by the end of the rehearsal, you know, you're wore out because you've expended all your energy you know, pumping them up and you know, getting them all excited about the music and telling them about, you know, this is why we're singing this. This is what this phrase means. And, you know, look who we're singing it to and, you know, sing it that way. And so, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of things I could go into. But anyway, so the last choir I had was, they were just out of them, out of choirs that some people couldn't. And, yeah, I had about 25 or so, sometimes 30 in the choir in my last church, and they sounded like, you know, 50 or 60. So it was really great.
If you can get them to project and sing from their diaphragm, they can really sound like more than just one person. Yeah, I bet that was a whole lot of fun, being able to coach and get all those people to unify into one thing and act as a single choir. And it's just kind of amazing to me. I really enjoy hearing these stories.
And I'll be honest with you, that's what I miss. If I could, you know, if somebody would give me a choir to work with right now, you could make me more happier. And I mean, I do it right now, and I do it for nothing, because I mean, I just enjoy it that much. And you know, I don't need the money, so it would just be great to be back in there and getting people, you know, excited and passionately singing for the Lord and genuinely, you know, with genuine passion, not just something that's made up. And I had a good teacher. I had Virginia Aldrich, and when I was coming along in high school in the singing Christmas Tree, she directed that, and she even gave me a couple of voice lessons at the high school, at Eastside High School, where I graduated. And that says a lot, because she just didn't, you know, give everybody voice lessons. And I didn't have to pay for them. I mean, she just showed up one day, and she knew she could improve my singing, and she did. She worked with me for an hour, and man, I mean, she worked hard. And she worked me to death. But I found out that I could do more than I thought I could do. It's really amazing, you know, what you have inside of you. Sometimes you just need somebody to help you get that out.
Yeah, singing really is a wonderful thing, you know, it opening you up and moving all that air and vibration through your body starts to release endorphins and all kinds of good things, where it really makes you be able to breathe easier. It calms you down. It sort of allows you to kind of center yourself some. It's really quite a wonderful thing. You know, I wonder if you've ever been in a men's quartet. There have been a lot of, I really enjoy listening to men's quartets, you know, and I've had several experiences in church, you know, and also different churches where they had a men's quartet group, and it was always wonderful to hear them sing.
KB4CBA. Yeah, I sang in a barbershop quartet in high school, and yeah, we went around to several places and sang. I can't even remember. I think we did some of that with that Virginia Aldrich set up for us. But you know, it was just a lot of fun doing that. And then when I got into church music, and I was doing that full time, I joined a I don't know what they call it now, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a men's choir, and they're made up all of ministers of music all over South Carolina. Anybody in the South Carolina, state of South Carolina, that's a minister of music can sing in it. You just have to come to rehearsals. The rehearsals are, you know, like right before the performance, and read through the music, and then, you know, the next day we do the performance. So, and we had had, you know, the same outfit that we wore at the same time, that kind of thing. So that was fun. And the, what do you call the guy that's over the state music for South Carolina for Baptist, he was a director. So, and I think he's probably retired by now, but a few years ago, the guy that was in that position, I used to date his wife in North Greenville. So I actually met her before he did, but he, you know, that worked out for him, and I met my wife in 77, so that worked out for me. You know, God always knows what he's doing. Or 76.
CBA, KQ4QHV, Dave, it's been awesome talking to you. I've been notified that dinner is ready, but I have one last question for you. Seems like you really enjoy singing, and you really enjoy playing tennis. So I wonder if you've ever tried singing before you go play tennis as a way to open your lungs up and allow you to get more oxygen and air into your body while you're playing tennis. And then after your response, I'll be clear.
Well, I never have really. I can, you know, I do have a lot of breath, though, because I failed to mention that I played in the band from fifth grade through my junior year. My senior year, they wouldn't let me take band and chorus, so I had to choose, and I chose chorus. But I was a drum major my sophomore and junior year in high school at Eastside, and I probably would have been drum major the third of my senior year if they'd let me take band, but I played clarinet, so I've got plenty of hot air. You go eat your supper, and it's good to talk to you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your week, and maybe it won't get too hot, but anyway, 73s, and I'll clear out after yours, KB4CBA.
Woodwind player too, bud. Yeah, enjoy. Thanks. I hope you have a good evening as well. And I'm going to clear out 73s, KQ4QHV.